Go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'd like to go to the Lord in prayer once again. And Brother Timothy, will you lead us in prayer?
Lord, thank you, Savior, and pray for us. And thank you for letting us come out and hear your word and put something really bright to bring it. And we can take it and use it in our lives. And please help all the walls if there won't be one tonight. And they can take the message and be saved. And please help us as we go our way. So we just say thank you.
Amen. Philippians chapter 4. You know, I want to talk about the work of God tonight. And you know, we think of the church. Many times when we say the church, we think of coming to the building. But, you know, the church is still the church when we exit the building. We're still the church when we go to our individual places, individual circles, whether it's going to school or going to work or going wherever. We are still the church. We come together in this building for the purpose of worshiping the Lord and be instructed in the Word of God and to learn the all things of God. But we're also to take and study our Bible individually as well. And, you know, certainly when you think of the work of God, God has put the church together as it pleased Him. We work for the Lord, and He receives honor and glory through the church. You know, I'm not out making a name for myself. Anything that I do, you know, is to edify the church body, is to edify the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage us tonight that we all have a work to do. I know you've heard me say that many, many times, but I really want to encourage and drive that point. Paul was a unique man. And he was called to a very unique position in the work of God. He was an apostle born out of due season. That just meant that he didn't walk with the Lord while the Lord was here. That the Lord appeared to him later. To be an apostle was one that, you know, they actually walked with the Lord under his teaching. And we're talking about walking with him physically. Not just walking with him spiritually. I know we all can walk with the Lord spiritually. But he was an apostle born out of due season. He was sent to the Gentile race of people, even though he did preach to Jerusalem. And he preached to the Jews. He loved the Jewish people because he was a Jew. And so what I want you to see with that is his circle, even though God sent him to the Gentiles, his circle included the Jews. Just like with Peter, he was sent primarily to the Jews, and even the 12 were sent primarily to the Jews, but later on their circle ended up overlapping with Paul into the Gentile race, and Peter had trouble with that time and time again. He wanted to do what the Lord would have him to do, but there was that human side of him that it just was not his nature to want to go to somebody that was not a Jew. And so God had to convert him on that. So the Apostle Paul, he was sent to the Gentile race. He was very, very uniquely educated, probably more than most anybody that's ever walked the earth. He had so much great education. And that just meant he had the ability to stand and cause kings to consider what he was saying. You know, we think about Agrippa. He was almost persuaded. Well, it was Paul that done that. I know it's Holy Spirit working through Paul, but God used Paul, and that was his work, to speak to men like King Agrippa. He also spoke to ladies down by the river, and they got saved. Churches were established. And he made a statement. He said, "I'm all things to all men that I might by all means win some." So he had an ability to relate to people. Some people, you say, "Well, that person has no tact." And you understand when somebody says that means you might say the truth, but you're not saying it in a way that somebody's going to hear you. Okay, well, Paul, he had a way of speaking to people wherever he was at. If he was with barbarians, he could speak to them in a way to connect with them. And that's very important that we as God's people understand that we need to be able to connect with other people, that we need to be, you know, not above some and below others, but we need to be able to speak to anyone. And certainly Paul, he was able to go and speak to kings, and kings like Agrippa almost persuaded. And then you have a man like Peter, and Peter was a unique man. And Peter, he was not an educated man. He was the Bible says he was an ignorant fisherman. And yet, you look at Peter, and he was unique, and God used him equally as he used Paul. And I say equally, he just used him in his work. That don't mean they both had the same number of souls that were won, but we don't know about all that. But he was a man, he's a different man than Paul was. Peter was a fiery man, and he was a man of action. We can say that about him. He got things done. He was a get things done kind of guy. He wasn't going to wait around for you to volunteer to do something. He was going to be the one that jumped in and did it with both feet. Sometimes that worked to his good. Sometimes that worked against him because he was a little bit, you know, he got ahead of himself sometimes and would say things that he wished he could take back. But he was the first one to jump into action. He was the only one we know of that walked on water. Nobody else did that except the Lord. And when he was finally converted, meaning whenever he finally got away from having to have Peter's will accomplished, and he was willing to surrender his will and accept the Lord's will. Whenever he was converted, he was able to then win thousands of people to the Lord. He was able to speak to authorities and politicians, and even those politicians, they took note that he had been with the Lord. So I say all that to say this, God made you unique as well. And he made me unique. There's no other Brad O'Neill that I know of, and if there was by name, it certainly wouldn't have my personality. It wouldn't be just like me. It'd be different. But God has made us all unique. And the work he has for you is as important as the work that he has for anybody else. Even if you, I think about, you know, many times we see maybe a little elderly widow woman that will come to church, and she comes to church and she sits on the pew, she hears the preaching, and she goes home. She has a work to do. Now, it may not be going out and witnessing to the masses. It may be that she just individually helps a grandchild. Or she might be praying for her pastor in a way that nobody else is. And so she has a very important work to do as well. So I just use that one example, but there's many. Each and every one of us has a work to do, and it's as important as anybody else. Your work is just as important as my work. You say, well, you're the pastor, Brother Brad. Your work's a little bit special. You know, we look at it and we say, well, certainly, you know, we want to honor the pastor, and we want to those that are doing the work that they should be doing be counted worthy of double honor and all that. But whenever it comes to the work of God, it's all necessary. I know you remember maybe the time I preached about having someone in your basket. There's the Apostle Paul, and certainly great by name, but you also had those that come behind and took care of him and lowered him down in a basket. If they had not done their work, Paul couldn't have done his. So your work is important. It's all God's work, but your individual part in it is important. Look at Philippians 4, verse 20. Well, let's back all the way up. I said verse 20. Let's back up some more. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia to go church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For ye, and notice how he worded that. That's important to what I'm trying to preach here. He said, nobody communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. Now he's talking about giving an offering. Nobody gave an offering to Paul except for the Philippian church there for a while. And he didn't just say concerning giving, you've given to me. He said, but giving and receiving. We're working together. You're giving, but you're receiving spiritually. You know, if you're able to help me to further the gospel, if someone gets saved, that is also it's put on your account as well. You've had a part in winning his soul. So when you think about supporting missionaries, just remember that whenever we support a missionary, that we're also, if a soul is saved or somebody's encouraged, we have a part in that. So it might be a small part. Well, all the little parts put together make a big part, don't it? I tell you what, a missionary cannot go unless he's got gas in his car. A missionary cannot go if he cannot take care of his food while he's on the road. And so we do our part, and it helps him to do his part, and all this is working together. You see how it's like a well-oiled machine or like a body, all the things fitly joined together. So he says in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. It may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. And I know we're closing out the chapter, and you think this is all salutations, but this is what I'm trying to get down to right here. Verse 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. While the church is saluting and encouraging others, and you know, Paul thought it was necessary to just mention that, well, there's some saints over here now, and they salute you. I believe he said, listen, while I've been on the road, there's been some people that have gotten saved, and they are thankful for the work that you're doing, helping me to get the gospel out, and so they salute you. But then he felt like it was very, very important to say, chiefly those of Caesar's household. You know, now, imagine what an encouragement it was to the church at Philippi whenever, well, if you were to back up and find where Paul parts out on this final journey, that he calls all the elders of the churches together. And he lets them know, he said, you're not going to see my face anymore. And they all wept for him. And he said, why is it that you weep and break my heart? He's letting them know, I'm doing the will of God and you're crying. And that's breaking my heart. I'm going to do the work of God. And so you back up and you pray for me. Pray that the door of utterance be open. And so the churches, they're over here and they're supporting him the best they can. And they're praying that God would give him a door of utterance. And now he sent a report back to them that there's saints over here, they're saluting you. And also some saints from Caesar's household that salutes you. Well, that would be encouraging. Especially if you thought, man, Paul was making a big mistake going and knowing that they're fixing to arrest him and try him, and then they find out, oh my goodness, he's appealed unto Caesar. Now, you know, Agrippa would have let him go, but he's appealed to Caesar, and they're going to end up killing him. But then he sends word, and then put it all together and say, I see what we're doing now. I see what we're doing now. You see, only Paul could reach Caesar's household. That was not Peter's job. Peter reached his own circle. Peter was dealing with his own circle over here. And, you know, when I say circle, I'm talking about those that we have the ability to influence. And so Paul had his circle, and Peter had his circle, and sometimes they overlapped, and they were preaching to the same people. Other times they were not. But Peter had his own individual circle he was to reach, and Paul, you know, couldn't be a blessing there, and Peter, or Paul's over here, and he's got his circle, and Peter can't get into that circle and preach. So only Paul had the ability to go and preach to Caesar's household. God put him there, and that was his work. And so he was doing it in a way that was bringing honor and glory to God. So we have a unique work that only we can reach. And certainly, I say that, certainly God can come from a different angle. Ryan, he don't have to have me. He can move me out of the way, put somebody up there, and let that person reach my circle. But he has a circle for me to reach. And many times, you know, if we're not careful, what we'll do is, well, I hope somebody reaches my circle over here. But that's your circle. Nobody else might not be. Look, God may not lead anybody else to come over here in your circle. I know sometimes they overlap, and us being all close in the community and all that, you know, we all have a field here, and it overlaps a good deal. But you have friends that I don't have. I have friends that you don't have. I tell you this. I had prayer with my mom and dad yesterday. Daddy was having a heart procedure done. And everything happened in such a quick ordeal that the nurses and doctors, and they all rushed in there, and we're ready to go, and you're first on the list, and we're ready to go. And I said, oh, stop just a minute. Can we have 2 minutes to have prayer? And everyone of them said, certainly, we sure can. And they just stopped. And we had prayer. And that changed the whole setting in the room. Seemed like everybody just kind of calmed down, took a breath. Doctor began to ask questions, talk a little bit. And I said, well, you know, right there, that may sound very simple, and it is. But God opened a door that somebody got to hear about Jesus. Just a little bit. These are praying people. But I tell you, one of them, he was encouraged by it. That we would have prayer. Well, while I was there with my circle, and that's where God put me, and the door was open for me, I couldn't get to yours. I trust you could. I trust you did. God opened the door for you. I trust that you got to yours. And that's all you can ask of anybody, is just do the work that God has given you to do. Whatever it is. If it's a mama home with the kids, you be a blessing to them kids. If it's kids home with mama, be a blessing to mama. If it's go to work and be a blessing to the co-workers, then do that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3. I don't know any other way to do it, just read right on through it. Yeah, I can't really break this up. So we're going to read about 15 verses real quick. So just hang on. Verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal, even as in babes in Christ. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Don't miss that. Also don't miss this, for we are laborers together. with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So there it is, we're brought together, we're labors together, but he also sends us out individually to do a work. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's, and don't think that that's talking about hell. Every time we read about fire, we're not talking about hell. That's talking about God's judgment there. The judgment of saints. If any man work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, I'm going to just leave the reward side of this and the fire side of this alone, with that one exception. I'm going to leave that alone tonight. You can get Branch way off in a hurry dealing with all that. I want us to consider the taking heed part. Taking heed. We are laborers together. So we are the church. We are the building. I know we come inside a building, but we are the building. We are the lively stones building up a spiritual house. We are the husbandry. And each one of us has an individual work, and we are to take heed how we do this work. But there's no big I's and little U's. Some of them are fussing. Well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Paul. I'm a Cephas over here. And Paul just put all that rest. He said, who is a Paul? Who is Apollos? And who is Paul? We're just ministers of God. We're nothing. It's what he said. We're nothing. He says, it's God that gives increase. So I can go out here and witness all day long, but I can't give the increase. I can't make somebody, Brother Jake, get saved. Can't do it. You can't either. None of us can. So when somebody gets saved, maybe we go out and we're taught to someone and we're able to be a blessing to them and they get saved. It was God that done that. So who gets the glory? It's not me, not you. It's Christ. And this is his body. So we're laborers together. We're his church, we're his building, his husbandry. And we are nothing. We trust that God gives the increase. I cannot produce results, but I can do the work that he gives me to do. God convicts the hearts. God saves. God's Holy Spirit is one does the moving. But as he opens the door, I can be an influence on my little circle, wherever that circle may be. So Paul never questioned the trouble he faced in life. That amazes me because Paul had more trouble. I mean, every time you turn around from being stoned to being whipped to being shipwrecked, and then you think about being out on that ocean, tossed and turned. It seemed like for how long was it? 10 days or something? It was a long time. They were out there. Didn't even see sunlight. Just black. And then you tossed into the sea and tossed up onto the shore. And when they get there, they come out and some barbarian type people come out and they kind of help them out. They build a fire. And while Paul is bringing wood to put on the fire, a snake bites him. I tell you what, sometimes you think about all that and you say, might as well just give up. It's one thing after another. I just cannot get a break. But it would seem that Paul never questioned the trouble he faced because he knew that no matter where God puts me, I will have an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. And it don't matter if it's barbarians, and it don't matter if it's Greeks, and it don't matter if it's the Jews. Don't matter if it's Caesar's household or whoever the case may be, wherever I'm at, even in the jail, in prison, he was able to win a jailer to the Lord. I believe that's what happens when we truly get on fire for the Lord. We see opportunity. Everywhere we go, we see the opportunities. God opened up those doors of opportunities in our circles, wherever our circle may take us. Now, I may never reach the White House. I may never reach your family. I may never get to witness to your friends at work. But you might get an opportunity. You might get that unique opportunity to be a blessing to someone that nobody else gets to be a blessing to. They may listen to you when they wouldn't listen to anybody else. Paul never got so overwhelmed by his struggles that he forgot about lost people. And I want to encourage, I believe we seem like Sunday, about every song was about revival, being revived. I think the thing that revives a church more than anything else, not just a week of meeting, but revives a church is whenever we remember the lost and we get concerned about the lost. Don't be blinded by the temporary whenever the eternal is right in front of you. Let your light so shine before others. That's for some.